Day, I guess. Please try to come to school. That's for you on the tape also. Tom Clifton, left of the bridge. And that's the happy piece of paper. That's my notes for what you didn't get a chance to take that day.
Yeah. You know that.
Happy side out. This is to keep your prayer life up. Make sure your name is on it. Go ahead and take it. Anybody not done? That I shall return.
You have the answer for number six.
Question 11 was snatched out of an old test and didn't get proofread very good, I guess. It didn't get described very well either. In the beginning, in the beginning of God and in the beginning of the universe, for man, is what I'm trying to say though.
On the question 4 response, that I realize you're putting words in your mouth, but can you say in the relationship with God without doing harm to the productive harm to the question? I'm giving too much information.
Yes, F, for F implies in relationship, should be with God. Relationship with God, inwardly rather than outwardly.
That's true also of L on the same question.
They always deal with the likeness or an image of God, therefore they are all in relationship to God. It's assumed they're talking about relationship to God, not to anybody else, anything else. The image of God, likeness of God, is the relationship to God. I mean, not done. One more minute. Put your name on it correctly. Anybody arguing in the class has the right to cut one paper if they wish. Okay, question number one. Which of the following statements accurately describes Adam before the fall? A. Adam was created in God's image. How many got that right? Two. Which of the following statements is true about Adam and the likeness of God? C. Adam started to be made in God's likeness. Three. Which of the following statements is true about the last Adam and the likeness of God? B. He was made in the likeness of God. Four. Now, you notice each one of those is 5 points. If you got it wrong, you can put a minus in front of that, maybe circle it. Now, each of these are worth 1 point. Choose the terms that express what image and likeness refer to in Genesis 1:26 and 27 by placing the letter L in front of the terms that relate to likeness, and I in front of the terms that relate to image, and N in front of the terms that relate to neighbor. Headship is what?
Image.
Form of celestial body is neither. Head and fountain of the human race is
image.
Image. Shape?
Neither.
Fitted for dominion?
Image.
Image. Inward relationship with God?
Likeness.
Intelligence, reason, and communication?
Image.
Come on. True, let's go, team. Image. Similarity?
Likeness.
Erect bearing?
Image.
Sublimity, dignity, and manner of elevation of being? Image. Holiness of character?
Likeness.
Manifestation and representation of God on earth?
Image.
Unity of heart and mind?
Likeness.
Essence of the invisible spirit. Yes.
What you have done.
I have neither. Because the essence of the invisible spirit, the way essence is. Metamorphosis. Neither. Change. Neither one means a change.
But isn't we being main change?
We are being. Choose the term to express what image and likeness refer to. The image does not refer to a metamorphosis.
But it says in Genesis 1:26.
Because
in Genesis 1:26 and 27.
Likeness, what likeness refers to. Likeness does not really refer to metamorphosis. Likeness refers to a likeness.
But in the context of Genesis 1:26-27, where he's making him into his likeness, he has to metamorphosize him to that place.
He says relate to, in terms of relate to.
Refer to.
We're smarter than you think.
We're between the lines.
Where metamorphosis is used in image.
Well, see, what I was getting at here is, and I realize this is something hard to know what's in the mind of the teacher. I was trying to get to what the terms refer to. Not what might be done with them, or how they might be used, or how they could be applied or interpreted in various texts and so forth. But what these terms in Genesis 1:26, likeness and image, what do they refer to? They refer to my likeness to him and how I am in an image. They do not refer to any metamorphosis. Obviously, man is undergoing a change, both in likeness and image. But the word likeness or image, neither one refers to a metamorphosis. Let's say the next two. Strength. Neither. Life, existence, or being. Neither. How many put neither for metamorphosis? Okay.
Don, I know this is splitting hairs, but on P, what if you are talking about eternal life that he eventually receives? Isn't God eternal, and therefore wouldn't it be reflecting God's likeness that he would have eternal life?
Well, when God talks about, let's make man in our likeness, he's not talking about, let's give him life, let's give him existence, let's make him a being.
So
he already has that, but he couldn't be made into it.
So is my misunderstanding of the question.
He couldn't be made into life, made into existence, and made into being.
How about image?
Right. How about image? God has life, the rocks don't.
So well, let us say he created man in his own image.
He was a symbol of strength, he was a symbol of being, because of that.
He wasn't really representing God for his strength goals. He has something above all the animals, and being the headship and the head of the founding human race, and fitted for dominion with intelligence and reason and communication and erect doing and dignity and manifestation and representation of God. But not in his strength. The gorillas cannot beat him any day in that. So can the rhino and the water buffalo and the elephant. The others. Let me think about my most See what I'm going to do. I'm going to compromise with you. Only on the word metamorphosis. I know the question might be construed a little bit to be ambiguous. It depends on, you know, how you think of the thing. That's what makes it difficult. But I maintain that the word image and likeness does not refer to metamorphosis. It does not refer to metamorphosis. A person, what the word person refer to? A metamorphosis. Well, he goes to a metamorphosis. What his flower refers to? Metamorphosis. Office, but it goes to what it refers to and not really the same thing. So even though I did say by placing the letter L in front of terms that relate to likeness, yet I'm still asking the question, what's it refer to? But I tell you what, I'll be really good to you and say this. These are only 1 point each, so 1 point from 100 doesn't mean much. So we're still going to count it wrong. But at the end, if you get them all right, we'll give you 5 extra points. And let you, well, we won't, we'll still let you have the 5 points if you got that one wrong. That's all I'm confident with you.
I hate to do this, but isn't it true the same could be said of headship and head and fountain between race, that they do not mean image? It is the association with, because of the teaching, that we know those are the right answers.
Well, I did teach that image, with image refers to his man's the headship and fountain of the human race. That's a, with image refers to all these, it's referring to these different positions and representation before God. It's not referring to the fact that he had to go through metamorphosis to get to it, but it refers to these various ways in which he represents God. But one way he represents God is not by metamorphosis. Yes?
The key is most of these are in our notes, or should be the exact same words and thoughts. Your test, you know, what you taught.
Yeah, if a person teaches these things and don't get carried away by predicate attitudes and all the rest, recognize these familiar words down here and line them out. Okay, I think I've been good to you now.
What's the correct answer for the last three?
Neither. Your last four. Yes.
One question.
D is shape. I put image and then I qualified it as being, how do I say it? In a remote sense only, man was to be in the shape that God would someday take when he manifested himself in Christ. So he said, let us make man.
Well, since you went to the length to qualify, you're right. And I thought that when I put this down, but that was in a remote sense and did not really deal with what he's talking about. So you're right, kind of right. I don't think the question is wrong, but I think you, by qualifying it, you put it right. Question 5. In Genesis 5:1, in the likeness of God made he him, refers to, everybody happy? Genesis 5:1, the likeness of God made he him, refers to F, the last Adam, Christ Jesus and his body of believers. Number 6. Insert the words created, made, likeness, and image as applicable, and check the correct answers at the end. Lord give us unity.
Okay, now we pray, let's take it.
Adam was created in the image of God. After the creation, he's 1 point each, God began to make him into his likeness. This was interrupted by the fall, and man lost much of the likeness of God. This, in return, affected the image of God that he was created in. This cannot be reversed. God has since been making man into his likeness, and therefore also making man into his image, which shall be completed when we receive a celestial body.
God has since been making man into his image, and therefore also making man into his likeness.
The reason it should be in this order is for two reasons. One is, notice right above here, This was interrupted by the fall, and man lost much of the likeness of God. This, in turn, affected the image. And down here again, the likeness is affecting the image. Not really the image, the likeness. There is a legal sense in which an image can affect the likeness, but still, even in that way, the greatest is the likeness affecting the image. The fact that he's made us a new creature in Christ begins, the Holy Spirit is going to work in our heart, making us light, giving us a spirit that's like him, and the begotten spirit begins to bring us into a place where we become a better representation of God on this earth. Whereas if you turn that around, then you have to have God accepting us as a son of God legally. It becomes legal then, instead of experiential. So the experiential affecting your representation, you have then a legal standing, and that affecting your experiential, your likeness. But that really is not, you really are not changing more like him because of your external image. Because of a position, but really because of what he's done in our hearts, being made into a better representation. There's only a very small area that you can see it the other way, and just isn't the better way, it doesn't fit what I'm
doing. God,
yes.
Maybe you should correct one thing for next year. That first sentence says, Adam was blank in the image of God after this creation. So it tells you what the answer is.
Mm-hmm.
After this,
Genesis 5:1. This is the book of the generations of Adam. Refers to seed, the many generations of man on earth. Verse 8.
John,
yes.
Oh,
celestial body, which shall be complete when we see a celestial body, is what he said. Uh-huh. Day 7, the many generations of man. 8, in Genesis 5:2, and he called their name Adam, refers to the Adam and Eve, generic term for mankind. 9, Genesis 1:26, let us make man after our likeness, refers to A, Christ and his body working together with God. 10, Elohim, C, means God, but is often used for false gods. 11, true or false, 1 point each. Adam and Eve brought forth after their likeness. True or false?
True.
True. Adam and Eve brought forth after the image.
True.
Christ's spirit is deity, his soul is God's person, and his body is God's body.
False.
Genesis 3:5, you shall be as gods, could properly be translated, you shall be as God.
True.
Genesis 3:5, you shall be as gods, could mean ye each shall be as God. Let me say true. Let me say false. True. And we bought that at the King James, so we said that could be, didn't mean that they misunderstood, they could mean ye, each one, could be as God, which means you should be as gods. Ye should be as God. We said that that's the way that translators can mean that, not meaning you should be as plural. They didn't mean that, yes.
Didn't you? When you made that statement, though, didn't you qualify to say that it can't mean that each one of you will be a god? It couldn't mean individually, because then it would mean there would be a whole bunch of gods, and each one of you would be a god. But it says plural, you're God, so therefore it didn't mean individually.
He said, you shall be as Elohim. So he said, ye shall be as Elohim by yourself, and ye shall be as Elohim. Then if he's talking to your plural, say you should be as gods, ye should be as gods, that is, you should be as God and you should be as God. We said that when the King James translators and others, translated this way, it does not imply that they think that he was saying they shall be as many gods, the Elohim. They realize that, and to agree with the Yi plural, each being a god, it would translate gods plural. And it could be translated that way without understanding, is what we said. Oh, I prefer the translation. We'll have to leave it that way. That's the way I taught it. That's the way I think it could be understood that way. I don't know if your mind is getting it, but I think it could be. That's what they meant by it, and that's how they translated it. They did not think that he meant as false gods or one enemy. They knew that. They knew better. Yeah. Logos is the noun in action. Come on, team.
True.
The Logos is God in action.
True.
In the beginning refers to God.
False.
In the beginning refers to the universe for man.
True.
The Logos is Christ.
False.
Christ is the Logos of God.
True.
The Word was flesh.
False.
Say that Christ made all things by a delegated authority from God is absurd because God cannot delegate his omnipotence to another.
True.
How many say true?
True.
How many say false? It's true. To say that Christ made all things, he made all things by delegating authority. From God, by delegated authority from God, is absurd because God can't delegate his omnipotence, his all power, to another. Not as omnipotent. God has never delegated his omnipotence. He's given power, but that's not omnipotence. This statement comes from Adam Clark in his commentary. Yes.
I think part of what he's getting at too is delegates omnipotence. It's impossible because omnipotence means having all power, mm-hmm. and if the one you gave it to had all power, he had power over you.
Mm-hmm. And you would cease to have all power.
Yeah, and he's still in a position of authority over him, therefore it's not really omnipotence.
Because you can't have two people with all power. Jesus was the creator as the Son of God.
False.
Jesus was the creator as Christ.
False.
Jesus was the creator as Jesus.
True.
Jesus was the creator as an agency.
False.
It's interesting, John, that in order to get that correct, you have to switch your meanings of Jesus on P.
Right.
Not that I just... Because we have to have a group thought of what we mean by that sentence, otherwise we can't get it right. You know, we have to have a committee. Do you know what I'm saying?
No, not yet.
Well, in all of them, N-O-P-Q, Jesus, you mean Jesus the Son of God. Okay, no, you don't. Do you?
No, the other ones are always defining what you mean.
Okay. I'm wrong.
Okay, 12. John 10:34, you are God's, means... D, you each one stand in God's place to represent him in authority on earth. Think it is God's plural, theorized. Okay, subtract the number of wrong points from 100. Then add 5 points to your grade if the student got all the questions number 4 right. And add 5 points if you get all the number 11 right. And we're not counting metamorphosis. We're counting it wrong, but we're not taking off for that 5 points. Put the grade on the paper. Make sure you get the grade on the paper. And then give it back to the owner. You can check your owner if you want to. Dave wants to know how many people studied. Okay, covered in. Question?
Yes, question. Question 11, number 8. In the beginning refers to God, as John 1:1, in the beginning was the Word, and the question was.
Question 11?
Right. true, false.
Yeah.
It says, in the beginning refers to God. It in the beginning refers to God. It's John 1:1. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was God.
H and I.
And you see in the I, it changes reference. It seemed to me anyway when I read the question. But then in the beginning refers to the universe, and it switches from man's frame of reference. The in the beginning, man's
frame. Oh, well. You got me as to exact terminology, but maybe you didn't hear me. I made the explanation in class saying the poorly written, like Buddha says, it's a poorly written, and it's got to be torn apart by wild horses rather than be printed. But, and what I've written here. So I try to explain it by saying in the beginning refers to what God did in the beginning, whether it refers to. In the beginning of God or the beginning of the universe for man. You didn't hear me make that explanation in class?
I remember it, but it seems like they're both true to me. I mean, even on top of the explanation.
I thought it was true.
It seems like both these statements are true in the way that you read the statement. Maybe I just
misunderstood. That's it, in the beginning.
It depends on your frame of reference, is what I'm saying.
In the beginning,
the question I changed the frame of reference. Poor man in the beginning refers to the beginning of the universe, but then the total overall scope and say in the beginning, it's kind of like John 1:1, that in the beginning was the Word.
Yeah, in the beginning it doesn't refer to in the beginning doesn't refer to the beginning of God.
No.
I said this should just be there. I said this in the beginning here, I'm talking about John 1:1. And I said that it means in the beginning refers to in the beginning of God, or in the I is the beginning of the universe for man. Totally poor question, but I don't know what you're saying, but I get an explanation. What are you saying?
Well, it seems like either way you state it, that in the beginning would have to refer to God, not that God has a beginning, but before the universe was, there was God, like John 1:1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God.
Yeah, but see, with John 1:1, when John 1:1 says, in the beginning, that's the terms we're looking at. He's not discussing whether God was before the earth. When he says, in the beginning, he's talking about the beginning of something.
Oh, okay.
And that beginning is, yeah, beginning is of the universe, not of God. Yes.
Theological question concerning 11. Yes, the creator has, like the creator has Jesus. Was Yahweh Jesus in the beginning of the creation? Was he our Savior or did he become our Savior after the creation?
I see your point. We're looking at two different mountaintops.
In fact, in one scripture, which one was that?
Exodus 15:2, and Elohim came out of Yeshua.
You're looking at it from the standpoint of putting quotation marks around it, saying Jesus was the creator as quote Jesus unquote, that term as the term Jesus.
Yeah.
And I'm looking at it not by putting quotation marks around it, saying he was the creator as the term Jesus, but he was creator as Jesus, whatever like Jesus implies, Yahweh the Savior.
He wasn't Yahweh the Savior.
Well, actually, in the Old Testament, it says that he was Yahweh, he is the Savior, and he was. Oh, well.
Before the fall.
Before the fall of man.
Genesis 15, something
says, it depends on, again, it depends on how you mean it. It's like Jesus called the Christ before he became technically anointed the Christ. He's still called the Christ. In the sense that Yahweh was. Jesus was Yahweh the Savior, but he was not, he was Yahweh the Savior, but he was not yet Savior at that time. But he was still Yahweh the Savior. So it depends on how you're looking at it. But if you look at it in that vein, don't pick off what.
I have a theological question also, number 6.
These theological questions or point gathering questions?
No, it's not.
Okay.
the last part, where it says God has since been making man into his likeness, and therefore also making man into his image, which shall be complete when man receives a celestial body. I question that because the way I understand it is the people that died, you know, previous to the man-child era of the whole thing, they, not everybody dies when they're cut from the loom. They're not all in God's likeness and you know, that perfect man of Christ. Therefore, I can't see how when you receive a celestial body, that means it's completed because people that died before the perfect man of
Jesus. Well, we didn't say his likeness. It didn't say his likeness was complete. His image is complete. And he was created in God, has since been making man into his likeness, and therefore also making man into his image, comma.
Okay.
His image, which shall be complete when we see. I guess the comma kind of works against me, though.
Well, what I'm trying to say is, does this mean that since everybody who is in heaven, they're all going to have celestial bodies, right?
Mm-hmm. Is there a comma after image?
So does that mean that everybody is going to have the same amount of likeness because they have a celestial body?
I was talking about image. That I'll have to agree that technically it turns on a comma. I know. Technically it turns on a comma. We'll be made into the likeness of God. I mean, not everybody won't be in the full likeness, but they will be in his image. They will be completed as a representation.
I hear that. Does that give any fire to somebody who became a bride without spot? Because looking to the whole fulfillment, we know that the purpose of God in making man into his own image was not fulfilled until it was a bride without spot. If you're including the image here, the likeness,
right?
And that's what I put down because I was looking at from that aspect. And I knew that when the celestial body, that didn't really, because there's still a lot of people that were uncompleted that had a celestial body. In other words, they had not reached that point of perfection on earth. And so if you're looking to the purpose of God in creating man in his own image, the body without spot.
You're passing my question, you're going to get fired.
I think that all those in heaven will be complete as far as the image is concerned. I think that is true. See, God created Adam in the image of God. Adam was not yet like God, was he? He had not come to the form of the likeness, but he was still in the image of God, even though he had not come to the likeness of God. I think your question is kind of presupposing that unless we come to the likeness as a bride, one with him, we cannot be in the image of God in its complete sense. But Adam was in the image of God. And that doesn't mean he was God, but in the image, whatever he has a representation. And when we get, and we are partially in his image, when we get there, I don't think anybody in heaven is going to have any problem with being a full representation of God with his authority and his position and so forth. That will be firmly established. He'll be there. The whole question is how much like him does a soul become before we're caught away. If anybody made this interpretation of likeness and image and on the basis of the comma and looking at the likeness, I'd have to maybe bend and be limiting on a point. Although you would be looking at two different things. But if you're working with image, the image really does not hinge upon the bride. It hinges upon getting a celestial body. Yes?
On this number 11, letters J and K, J says the Logos is Christ. K says Christ is the Logos. If Christ is the Logos,
what question is this? What question?
11. Number 11, sections J and K. It would be logically it wouldn't fit unless you qualified. If you want to qualify and say the Logos before it became Christ was not Christ.
The Logos is Christ. The Logos is Christ.
False. It's false.
Okay. And Christ is the Logos of God.
So that's true?
That's true.
What do you mean by Christ?
It's like God is love, but love isn't God.
But yesterday you were teaching about Christ, and you said that the body, he became flesh, that, you know, that being that was made there, that wasn't the Logos. But it was what came through him that was the Logos after he had been made in flesh. In other words, once Christ was body, soul, and spirit, that he couldn't be called the Logos then, in the same sense that you said, you made quite a long time you talked about that, although it isn't in any of these notes here, but you talked about it yesterday, saying that Christ, as to his, you know, that wasn't the Logos, it was the Logos that had made him, but or that was made flesh, but the flesh wasn't the Logos. And so what do you mean by Christ? Do you mean the living principle that he taught, or do you mean...
No.
It's kind of like saying Christ is the Messiah, so the Messiah is Christ. So Christ is the Logos, so the Logos is Christ. At least that's the way I look at it.
And that's how the last time it...
The first problem is this thing should have been the Logos, John 1:1, was Christ, but it should have been.
And it qualified.
The Logos was Christ. The Logos was not Christ. It was the energy and action of God. The energy and action
right.
of God
right.
was made flesh until the Christ became the expression of God, the action of God, the energy of God. The energy of God made this flesh, and then God in this flesh as Christ. Christ is more than the flesh. Then himself was the energy
yes.
of God expressed.
Yes.
So in that vein, Christ is the Logos of God. He is the expression of God, the action of God, the energy of God, the outflow of God, and all that. But the Logos itself, see, well, the Logos it was Christ. The Logos wasn't Christ. The Logos is God's energy.
So it's the reference point. And if the reference point is before the Logos has become Christ, become flesh, then the Logos isn't Christ. But if the reference point is now that Christ is the Logos, then you could say that the Logos is Christ. So I guess it just depends on the reference point. If you're looking at it now that it's become incarnate or prior to the time that the Logos would be flesh. So
I'm not sure. My mind isn't following you 100%. You're probably right. Russ said, it's God is love, but love isn't God is what the answer is on this. Christ is the Logos, but Logos isn't Christ. Logos isn't Christ. Christ is the Logos. Yes.
That's the only one I missed on that. So this is a point-gathering question for me. If you mean Christ as to his body, soul, and spirit, how can
and in your papers.
Energy?
Pardon?
You mean decay? If you mean Christ as his body, soul, and spirit, how can that be the energy of God? But if you mean his ministry, certainly it's the energy of God flowing out from him.
By Christ, we mean all that he is as Christ, as the anointed one.
But anointed means the anointed one, and the anointer is the one who's providing the energy and keep the Father dwelling in him, rather than Christ.
Okay, but then Christ, the anointed one, is the Word. The anointed one is the Word and truth and light and expression of God.
Well, I'm just saying yesterday, we went through a big thing saying that Christ isn't the Logos, because you were meaning his body, soul, and spirit. You said that yesterday. It isn't in the notes of yesterday, but you were saying it for several minutes.
No, I did say that Christ was the Logos, the word of God was the Logos. That there's a written Logos, a verbal Logos. That he is the... I do believe that Christ
Jesus
Christ,
is
the Logos of God. And I'm not sure what you're doing there. You got all your papers? Have you taken them?
The grads aren't in the average, are they?
No.
Therefore, Logos is Christ.
At least it is now that it wasn't before when it was just God's creative energy up here. But now that it has been made flesh, now the Logos is Christ. Then wouldn't Christ is the Logos, wouldn't the Logos have to be now Christ?
No, because Logos is much bigger than Christ.
John
is much bigger than
God is love. Love is desire. God is bigger than love. Logos is bigger than Christ. Logos is Christ is the only
logos.
That is the only logos.
So you say
that's part of the logos of God. Christ is part of the logos of God.
Well, it doesn't come in parts. He's an expression of God, and there's other expressions of God too. And he said, "Well, God is love, but love isn't God, and then love is a part of God." Well, you see, you can't say love is a piece of God, and so Christ isn't a piece of the logos.
In other words, he's the lowest expression of it, but he's not.
The logos is larger, just like God is larger than the certain God is God
already.
No. Yeah, I think I understand what you're saying. He's the fullest expression of it. He was the express image of God, so he was the logos in his fullest expression, but he was not all of it.
That's right. At this point of time on earth,
that's the point of time I'm looking at.